It is about 12 minutes after 8 a.m. Happy Wednesday morning to you. And as promised, we have a new safety segment here that we'll be doing once a month. Still going to settle in, I think, on when we're going to do it. But joining me this morning is Holmes District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty. And welcome to your new segment.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
No, but we've been talking about this for a while since you became the chief. And it's a great way to get information out to folks and share with them. And so you'll have all kinds of fun stuff to share with us today.
Oh, definitely.
Because you guys are constantly doing things. You have your, if you listen to the scanners, you're out on lots of calls, but like in the hometown news today, you know, you're also applying for grants, which I think you said you have some more information on some others. And so you're not just like hanging out at the fire station making chili.
That was
my fire joke.
No, we're always busy. There's always, you know, inspections going on, new buildings that we're going out and doing. Just with the plan reviews and places are getting new sprinkler systems, we got to be out and test those. So there's always something going on.
And a lot of people don't realize you guys do all of that because they're like, oh, firefighters just fight fires.
Right.
But a lot of what you guys do as well is the prevention of fires.
Yes.
So you don't have to fight the fires.
Well, I mean, you know, 85% of our calls are EMS because I think, you know, we've done so good in fire prevention. You know, the fire code, everything we do has reduced a lot of fires. It's not like it was 30, 40 years ago. So it works. It, you know, and being out in the schools with children, it has made a difference. It's obvious.
And you guys have changed your teachings with the children's, because when I was young, which I'm sure you can relate to, we were taught stop, drop, and roll.
Yes.
I thought I was going to use that far more in my life than I actually do.
Yes, not too many times as your shirt just spontaneously caught on fire. But yeah, we still, you know, we'll bring it up, but it's a lot more of, you know, getting out, staying out, and, you know, knowing what a smoke detector sounds like, what to do, how to call 911, and, you know, all those things instead of, you know, how to roll on the ground. Yeah.
Now, maybe we ought to start working on, like, accident prevention and work on those EMS calls.
Yeah, we, you know, the health department and has worked with us and other departments on fall prevention. That's a huge call for us in EMS is falls or lift assists. We do those a lot. So that, you know, like I said, the health department has been big on that and trying to, if we can get out there and, you know, if it's a loose rug or there's, you know, clutter in the way of where people need to go, we try to help educate and make things safer for people at home.
And so while we're kind of talking about what you do, you did bring some numbers on what it is that you guys have been up to here for what, February?
Well, I thought, you know, if we do this once a month, we'll talk about, you know, what we did the month before. So we'll get caught up for 2025. So in January we had 117 calls. February was 104, and as of this morning, we had a call at 6 a.m. right at shift change. We're up to 274 calls for the year.
So,
and then, let you know, 2024 we finished the year with about 1,249 calls, I believe we were in that area. So, you know, we're on pace. We usually do over 100 some calls a month, so we're on pace again, like usual.
Which, you know, you always hope that those go down, but things happen, and you know, there are accidents that you guys go to, and you know, we always talk about move over, slow down for when you guys are there. That's super important so that you guys stay safe while you're doing what you need to do.
Yes, I often preach to our guys, and if I've done fire classes, I think anymore being out on the roadway doing traffic or a crash, I think being in the roadway is more dangerous than going into a burning building for our people. And so that's always, you know, I push that a lot for our trainings of just staying aware. And, you know, we wear those reflective safety vests, but they don't magically repel cars. So that's one of our most dangerous things we do, I think.
Well, for fire training, you can train what to look for, what, you know, to feel for, smell, like all the things, but you can't train for whether somebody's going to drive intelligently or not.
Right, right. And everybody has somewhere to be right now, and they're usually looking at their directions on how to get there or something else. And
or the latest text, what's Samantha doing today?
You know, trying to tune into the radio. I don't know. It's, it's. I was, if you want a reality check of what it's like, traffic is just, you know, hold a stop sign out in the middle of the highway and you'll learn quick what it's like out there.
It's going to be unnerving, like to feel like I've talked about it with Lieutenant Perrin, with Chief, like having those cars.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, this yesterday evening we had a crash, not serious there on South Washington in Millersburg. We had four cars and, you know, we were able to get one lane of traffic to use the center turn lane, and we kept traffic moving, but we're working right there, right beside them, and everybody's wanting to take a video of, you know, and be the first one to post it of what's going on, and you're...
Everybody's got to have the latest news.
Yes, and you're a foot, 2 feet away from my people working, so it can be a little unnerving, for sure.
Definitely. So, what else do you have to share here this morning?
Well, we talked about grants, and you know, you heard Lieutenant Peterman talking about the Walmart grant that we got for the camera. But last week we also received word from State Fire Marshal that we had applied for an equipment grant through them, and we were awarded $10,878 that we're going to use for rescue equipment, ropes, more of that technical rescue type stuff. We've been working on that the last few years of kind of building up our equipment, supplies for just kind of the out of ordinary stuff, not, you know, the everyday stuff. We have the, you know, covered for car accidents, things like that, but the, you know, hunters out in the woods or hikers or anything, you know, rope rescue, confined space, if they're somebody's working down in a pit and they're overcome by, you know, fumes or something like that, we can get down in there with, you know, ropes. We Holmes County leadership class last year raised money for us to get a rescue tripod that can be used for all sorts of, you know, rope rescue things and elevator shafts, confined space out in the woods if it's down a steep embankment. You know, we've been building up that kind of equipment, so we're going to be able to replenish our rope supply and the hardware for ropes and harnesses and things like that with this money, you know, just shy of $11,000. That's going to go a long way.
That's fantastic. Now, is that part of the trailer that you guys have been putting together?
Yes, yep.
To keep things, look at me, remember from a while back.
Yes. So that, you know, we want to build that up to, you know, it's available not just for us, but anybody in the county or even farther, that it's more equipment than what we would carry on our rescue truck or, you know, any other department may have on their rescue truck. At first, it's to build on that if you get something major, something with involves a semi or into a building that you have to do a lot of shoring or, you know, anything like that, it would carry more supplies like that that may not be found on your first out truck.
And that's why it's important when you call in for an accident or something, any details that you know to share so that way you guys can show up prepared.
Yes, definitely. You know, it's amazing some of the times that we get called for something and the information we're getting and we get there and it's completely different, or it's sometimes it's not as bad as it's made out, but usually we find it's, oh, this was not in the information, or we didn't know there was vehicles involved, or we didn't know it was, you know,
oh, they're bleeding, and you find like their leg is gushing, and like
yes, yeah. So it's we've had a few of those, yeah.
Bringing some flashbacks there.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic, and that is just straight grant money. There's no match or anything required.
No matching. We purchase the items we want and submit the invoices, and it's paid for.
That's great that you guys have the opportunity to do that. And you never know, with our county, there's such a wide terrain. And even in just your territory alone, you've got in town, out of town. And I'm sure you guys have got stuff for like grain bin safety, which is a whole nother set of of safety and things like that. So,
yeah, and we've, you know, we worked on a couple we were able to get an inflatable boat. Millersburg Eagles helped with that. You know, there's been talk about developing Kilbuck Creek and using it more for recreation. You know, and we had a boat that, you know, it's on a trailer. It's more of it's a Lake Buckhorn type boat. It isn't, you're not taking that to the Kilbuck Creek or somewhere remote where, you know, this boat we were able to purchase, it weighs about 60, 70 pounds. So, you know, if one person had to, they could carry it. Or, you know, you could get that to a remote area. We can take two of our air bottles that we have on our air packs to go into a burning barrel. We can use those same bottles. Two of them will fill it up, and it'll hold four firefighters and a victim. And it can be used, you know, like I said, in a remote area if we had to. And so it's just things like that that, you know, we're not using the money that, you know, we generate from our levies that do the everyday operations and buy the everyday equipment. We're able to get these specialty items that we may never get any otherwise that, you know, hopefully we never use them. Hopefully they just sit on in the trial. I always say it's great if, you know, we have a huge investment in vehicles and equipment. If we never have to use it, it's a great day for people. But obviously we're probably going to use it at some point. And if we can have that equipment available to us, to our neighboring departments, or even beyond, you know, that's the idea. It's just building that toolbox even more and more for whatever may happen.
It's better to be prepared and yes. It not happen than it happen and you not be prepared.
Right. I'd rather go to something and find out if we don't need any of that. It's just, here, grab my hand and you're saved. And that's all there is to it. That's
if perfect. Only it were that easy, yes. Though. Yep.
That'd be great.
Like, here, I got you, man.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with more with Chief Brian Rafferty from the Holmes Fire District 1 Department here in Millersburg, here on WKLM. And we are back here with Holmes Fire District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty, and we've been talking about numbers and prevention, and one of the biggest preventions we can talk about right now is the burn ban that is currently in place for the entire state. It's not just a Holmes County thing, it's a whole state of Ohio thing.
Yes, I did not create the law, it's the state of Ohio. It happens every year, March, April, May, and again, October and November. Every year it seems like, you know, we'll post it on Facebook, all the departments do, and, you know, we get the same comments of, you know, we got to go out and do this, we got, you know, get these people, they're doing that. I get it. We're not out on patrol for this. We're not out looking for these. If somebody call, you know, if it's causing an issue of, you know, smoke across the roadway, if it's smoke's coming into your residence causing respiratory issues, and you call and file a complaint about it, we got to go out and check it, and most of the time we'll put it out. If somebody's burning and they're with it, it's controlled. That's on them. They're responsible for it. The big thing that happens, you know, this time of year, everything is dry. Yeah, even though it rains and everything's muddy.
It's dead.
Everything is brown. There's low humidity. And there's, usually, like yesterday, it was pretty windy. And everybody wants to be out cleaning up their landscape and their lawn. I get it. And then as soon as they get that pile, they want to set it on fire. And then it's in the woods or it's across the field. And just in the last, you know, we've had the last 3 days, it's been nice, and we've had one every day. Every other department in the county has been on one or two. You know, Wayne County, I listen to them, they're out on them. Sunday we were down in Coshocton County to help them. So there's three departments that have to take manpower and equipment to go put out dead grass in a field, and that takes away manpower from when you're either your house is on fire or you're having a heart attack. Those people, you have less people now available to help you with those because they're putting out dead grass and leaves.
But the dead grass and leaves need to be put out because right. They could be heading to your house.
Right.
So, but if you don't light it on fire.
Right. If we weren't burning that pile of leaves from your mulch beds, whatever, we wouldn't have to have all that manpower and equipment out there dealing with that. That shouldn't happen. And it's, you know, every year, as soon as the burn ban goes into effect and we get nice weather, it's a guarantee. That's what we talked about this morning, shift change. It's make sure the brush truck's ready to go, because that's probably what's going to go out.
Because it's another purdy day.
Yes. And this weekend, it's supposed to be up in the 70s.
But it's going to rain all weekend, so you guys should be all right.
Yeah. But we got to get to there first. So it's a real thing. I mean, there's always comments on the Facebook posts of, you know,
this is dumb. Yeah, what are it doesn't you doing make sense.
And I get it. Like I said, it was
thought out. It was done for a reason. Yes. And if you would, like, we keep the scanner on in the newsroom. We hear all these calls going across. We were counting them the other day. Within like 2 hours, there was like 3 calls go through. Oh, the fire is on the way to the house. Or like, it's, you know, there. It's done by statistics.
Yeah.
And numbers, and it's prevention.
Yeah, and it's always questioned, you know, why it's 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., you know, why not after 6 p.m.? Well, it's still the same. You know, you're responsible if you set that fire. If it goes anywhere, you're responsible for it. The big thing that, you know, the state of Ohio is going to get involved with is when it leaves your property, and we've had that. We had one in Lake Buckhorn that they were burning something, and that homeowner had left.
What?
It burnt some of their woods and it crossed the property lines. So that's going to be an issue for them. But this, you know, the 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., obviously that's, you know, during the day, it tends to be a little windier. But then, you know, your volunteer departments tend to have less people around. You know, everybody's at work. So you don't have near the manpower around that you may have in the evening. So that's a little bit to do with the time frame that they give you as the, you know, the restriction. It's, you know, last fall, if you remember, we were really dry and
they had
extended burn bans in certain counties. It wasn't for us, but I have a video. I won't say where it was at. It was at a commercial establishment in Millersburg that we got called there at, I think, about 11 o'clock in the evening for a tree on fire. That's kind of odd in a commercial place. Whatever, why is there a tree on fire? Usually it's a power line that may be down that causes that. So the crew gets there. Well, the whole landscape bed, shrubs, mulch, everything are all burnt up. So, and it's in the middle, you know, there's sidewalks and parking lot all around it. And we go back through security footage and find where somebody threw a cigarette butt down almost 5 hours before the fire started, threw the cigarette butt down and just did a step. They didn't do the stomp out and twist.
Yeah, you got to step and twist.
Threw it in the mulch and stepped on it, and it sat there for 5 hours, and then it finally lit the mulch on fire, and then the shrubs and trees were gone within 2 minutes. And it's, you know, we find that a lot, and it's always at a, seems to be at the bank drive-thrus. Somebody will throw a cigarette out into the landscape and it catches the mulch on fire, and it can set there for hours.
Mulch is dried wood.
Yes, yes. And so, you know, it's those little things that, you know, they you don't think about it. It doesn't happen right away. It doesn't go up like there's gasoline laying there. It can sit there for hours before it finally catches.
It's got to sit and simmer.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, the video is pretty wild to watch it. It's amazing how it just sat there for that long. But
and, you know, with a burn ban, it's, you got to think about things like that too, because there's a reason that's on. And I know most of my friends who do smoke, because I do not, they are pretty good about, like, they'll do the drop stomp and then pick it up and they keep till they can, you know, dispose of it properly. So it's not littering or what, and they know that it's out.
Yeah. If they have the receptacle there at the door, you know, most businesses,
lit cigarettes in the receptacles. I worked at a campground and it was so many times people would put it, they just take it right out. Yes. And then that would light on fire. Then we'd have to put that out. And
we've been called to those before. Yeah.
You know the drill.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
All right. We're going to take a pause here. We're going to check in with ABC News, the Eye on Weather forecast, and then we'll be back with Chief Rafferty. It is 42 minutes, almost 43 minutes after 8 a.m. on your Wednesday morning. We are sitting at about 34-ish degrees. Sun is up, 35 degrees. Sun is out. It's a beautiful day here in Holmes County, and I am back with Holmes Fire District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty, and we've made a lot of progress in informational sharing just in that first half of the 8 a.m. hour.
Or we just confuse people even more, I don't know.
Yeah, you know. we'll learn you something sometime.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else do we have to share with them?
Well, obviously, we changed our clocks over the weekend, so you know that's always a big thing that the fire service pushes. When you change your clocks, change your batteries, check your smoke detectors, checking your CO detectors. I know a lot of them now are, you know, they have the internal battery. You don't have to change it anymore, but you know you want to make sure you test it. Make sure you know children in the house, they know what it sounds like. They know what to do when they hear that, even if it's, you know, just from cooking or whatever, make that a practice run. Make that a, you know, knowing what to do, of getting out, where they're going to meet, and, you know, don't just ignore it. Don't just unhook it or take the battery out and, you know, like, you know, we see a lot. But we want to check those often. Check the batteries, change the batteries. If they're the internal batteries, you know, check the date on the back. They have a born on date on the back. If you know, smoke detectors, they'll last 7 to 10 years, they need replaced. Obviously, if they're dirtier or whatever, you know, maybe swap those out with some new ones. CO detectors, those generally last 5 to 7 years, just because, you know, there's a chemical in there that will react to carbon monoxide and that can degrade over time, so those need replaced a little bit sooner than smoke detectors. And obviously they're mechanical. They're made pretty inexpensive. Those can fail in a year. They can fail in 6 months. So that's the reason for checking them, checking that battery, making sure they work. Because you know they can fail. They may not last 10 years. They may last only a year. So that's where you got to check them and know what they sound like.
And even if they're high up, you can use the old broom check.
Yes. Yep. Definitely. And, you know, people often ask about where to place those, the smoke detectors. Obviously, smoke goes up, so you want those high on a wall, on the ceiling. You want those in your bedrooms, close to the sleeping areas, the living areas, not in the kitchen. I know that's...
It is not a food timer to tell you when you're done.
No. You should be in the kitchen when anything is cooking. So if it catches on fire, you should be there and know that. So you don't want them in the kitchen. You don't want them outside the bathroom where steam from the shower is going to, those set them off. So you want them in the bedrooms, areas like that, that are going to, that's the key, is when you're asleep, that's when you want it to alert you. Same with CO detectors. You want those, you know, in your sleeping areas. And I always recommend putting those, you know, and those can be, anyway, if it's a combination unit, if it's with a smoke detector, it's going to be up high. If you get just the CO detector itself, I always tell people, put it in the air that you live in. So it's, you know, your bed height or standing height in that area. You want it in the air that you're breathing. Because carbon monoxide is about the same weight as air. It doesn't go down. It doesn't go up. It kind of just mixes in. So you want it in the air that you're living in.
So that way it sets off,
yes,
about when it's going to hit you.
Yes. So, you know, and you're going to want those if you have gas-powered furnace, water heaters. You want those, you know, in the basement or whatever, not directly near them. Those type of plants are going to put off a little bit of CO. You're going to get some off there. So you don't want that detector right next to them. You want it, you know, about, if it's in the basement, you want it on the other side of the basement. And like I said, in the sleeping areas, to pick up that carbon monoxide, because we see that more and more. The houses today are a lot tighter. They don't breathe like they used to, so CO can really build up And it just takes, you know, one appliance to have their vent pipe either, you know, come through winter if they freeze up or snow blocks it or something changes, that vent pipe moves a little bit, it can make a huge difference and be deadly.
And that's why it's important when we get lots of snow to make sure all of the vents in your household are clear to expel said fumes. Yep. But talking smoke detectors, while you guys may not do carbon monoxide, if you're not sure where or what to do when it comes to smoke detectors, you guys can help.
We can. So through the Red Cross, they provide smoke detectors to all the fire departments. So we can come out. We have to install them through the Red Cross. That's how we get them free. They want us to install them. We review how they work. We talk about, you know, exit plans and some fire safety. And we return that information to the Red Cross, and we get more free ones. So, you know,
call. You don't even have to hook them up. You guys do it for you.
Yes, we'll do them. Even if you're buying smoke detectors and you're not sure where to put them, we'll come out. I'm sure a lot of other fire departments will come out and help assist where to put them, help you if you can't do it. Same with CO. We'll guide you through those. That's what we're there for, we want to make sure you have those in working order and in the proper places.
And you can help with the fire plans, you know, teaching. The kids get that at school, but it helps like at your church or your home or work or wherever.
Yes. I mean, any businesses, I have a couple nursing homes coming up that we're going to do fire extinguisher training. You know, we can do that as well with businesses, organizations. We have a fire extinguisher trainer. It's a simulator. The extinguisher's just as heavy as a real one, but you're putting out a fake fire on a TV screen, and it's not easy to do. It makes you work a little bit, but it's a lot cleaner than using real ones.
A lot less dangerous.
Yeah. So, you know, we do offer that to businesses, organizations, and provide that training. You know, that's the idea. We want to get out there and make sure you don't ever need us on the other end of our job.
Prevention is important.
Exactly.
We were actually also talking during ABC News about how now that we know things, we don't do as many silly things as we did when we didn't know things.
Right.
Like so I said, once you know things, it's better.
Yeah, definitely. I said, talking about going to school to be a fire inspector, you know, look at restaurants different and theaters different, and you're always looking at exits, and it can get, my family gets annoyed when I'm pointing all that stuff out, but you just notice those things more. And
if something happens, they won't be annoyed.
Right.
They'll be like, oh, I'm so glad you were playing.
Yes.
Tell them that. All right. We're going to take a quick moment. We'll be back with Hometown Sports, and then we'll wrap up with Chief Rafferty here on WKLM. And we are just about ready to wrap up this 8 a.m. hour. I have been with Holmes Fire District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty, and we've talked about all kinds of fun stuff. We've talked numbers, we've talked burn ban, we've talked smoke detectors, and now we've got something a little lighter that can help out all the departments here. Well, not all of them, but several of them have things going on coming up.
Yeah, so I just wanted to get out the information of some of our local departments that have fundraisers coming up in the next few weeks. So down at Kilbuck Fire Department, their pancake breakfast is March 22nd at the fire station. It starts at 7 a.m.
It's next Saturday.
Yeah. Prairie Township will be the Saturday after that. In Holmesville, March 29th, theirs starts at 6 a.m. at the fire station. Also, 29th is set. If you want food and
don't want to cook it,
you can go all over Holmes County and you'll be taken care of. So you start at Prairie Township for breakfast. Winesburg Fire Department has a fundraiser auction Saturday, March 29th. That starts at 9 a.m. Baltic, they have their fundraising auction and pig roast Saturday, March 29th. That starts at 12 p.m. Saturday's good. Then Sugar Creek has their auction and chicken barbecue Friday, April 11th, starting at 4 p.m. So that all these fundraisers help those departments make you know, an extra purchase of equipment that may not be able to get just with their levy money and their budget. It's usually something, you know, something that needs desperately replaced, or they want to add some new piece of equipment. So, you know, get out and support those departments, and that helps them a lot.
And, you know, firefighters are always known for being able to cook also.
Yes, that's...
So, you know, you're going to get good food.
Yeah, you know, once we're prepped for the morning of the shift and what's going on, it's, okay, what's for breakfast? And then as soon as you figure that out, well, what are we having for dinner? So...
Sounds like, here, when are we eating the next meal?
Yeah, so we make sure that's at top of the list of getting figured out.
You can start offering, like, firehouse cooking classes.
Well,
do some fundraising that way.
There's some on the roster that could do that. There's some that should not be anywhere near any.
Like, no. Oh, it's so-and-so's turn to cook. Let's go out and grab lunch here today.
You know how we talked about smoke detectors in the kitchen? Yeah, they would be the poster child for why you don't do that.
So lots of opportunities to support your local fire departments, you know, not just you guys, but, you know, here in Holmes County, you guys work together a lot.
Yes.
And so, you know, that's what Holmes County is known for, is working together.
Yeah, definitely. You know, just Holmes County, the surrounding county, like I said, we were down in Coshocton County over the weekend. So we're all on the same team. We all offer a little bit something different, or different equipment or different training. You know, getting out and supporting all those departments helps everybody.
All right. Well, we've already reached 9 a.m. Yes. I tell you, it goes fast when we're here chatting. So that was Holmes Fire District 1 Chief Brian Rafferty. He is going to be a monthly guest, so he'll be back again in April, and we'll have more to talk about. So thank you for coming out today and for committing to do this frequently to help keep the information out there.
I will do my best. Like I told you, it's, you know, sometimes our plans aren't made by us. So I will do my best to be here every month.
Exactly. So we understand that fires happen, EMS happens. So we're going to take a quick moment here, and we will be back with Hometown News in the 9 a.m. hour on WKLM.